Welcome to HWTP Sports Talk with your host, David Weinstein. And now, David Weinstein.
Hello, Hudlin fans. Thank you for listening to Hudlin with the Pro Sports Talk with David Weinstein, featuring Pepper Johnson. My co-host Pepper Johnson is a 13-year NFL veteran player, a five-time Super Bowl champion as a player and coach, a member of the Ohio State Varsity Hall of Fame, and a former defensive coach for the Bills, Jets, and Patriots. Well, joining us now is Dr. Katie Russell Newland. Katie is an Austin, Texas-based writer with a PhD in language and literacy from University of Texas in Austin. Go UT! Katie is joining us to talk about her book, A Season with Mom, Love, Loss, and the Ultimate Baseball Adventure. It's a story of her journey to all 30 Major League Baseball parks in a single season to fulfill her late mother's dream. Katie, thanks for taking time out for your busy day and for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, David.
While I was reading through your book, what I took away was that it's a work of love, baseball, friends, and family. And it's also about the journey we take and following through with what we commit to in our lives. And your life has been a series of ups and downs, a roller coaster. But throughout it all, you've maintained a positive attitude. And I believe that we're all framed in a large part in the images of our parents. And your book reveals a lot about your mom and her positive attitude. How much of her positive attitude contributed to your overall positivity?
Oh, gosh. I think that her way of being in the world, like you said, you know, there were ups, there were downs. She embraced all of it, the right turns, the wrong turns. She always felt like those things were putting you on the path for where you were meant to be. And if I hadn't had those teachings growing up, I don't know that I could have survived some of the experiences I faced in my life without those teachings.
And so when you embarked on this journey, it was a journey you had hoped to take with your mom, but one that unfortunately you had to undertake on your own. But throughout the book, you write these love letters back to mom, and that's what each chapter's about, sprinkled in with a little bit about the ballparks that you're visiting. In many of your reports from the ballpark, you talk a little bit about how you could tell that she was with you. Was there one in particular, one ballpark in particular that stood out as the place? Obviously, being a Cubs fan and you're throwing out the first pitch, I know that one to me jumped out. But were there others where you really felt that she was with you in some way?
I think she was with me at every ballpark. I think she was in the giggles of the fans around me. I think she showed up in the people who work at the ballpark and their kindness. I think that everywhere I went, I saw glimpses of her. And my mom was so alive when she was at a ballpark or just watching a game at home that I think her spirit was with me at every ballpark. And like you said, at Wrigley on the mound, throwing out the first pitch, it was certainly not, I was not the only person there throwing it out. Her fingerprints were all over that ball too.
And she might have helped you because from the way you recalled it and from the images that I've seen, that one right into the mitt and right over the plate, that's quite an accomplishment given what we've seen from some other people. You talk a little bit about your practicing. How tough was it for you to really focus and just get it over the plate?
Well, when I learned that I was going to have the opportunity to throw out the first pitch at Wrigley, which was a childhood dream of mine, as a little kid, I would stand in the backyard and I would tape a masking tape box on the white brick wall that sort of held up our house, and I would pretend like I was on the mound at Wrigley. And so to have the opportunity to go to Wrigley and throw out that pitch was certainly a dream come true. And when I learned I was going to give the opportunity to do it, I made the mistake of Googling first pitches.
Oh.
Big mistake, because the first person that came up as Wrigley Field first pitches was Michael Jordan, and he botched it. you know, airmailed it, didn't even make it to the catcher. And I thought, oh no, there is no way that I'm going to be able to do this. And I certainly got in my head and started thinking about all the ways I could fail. And I think oftentimes we do that when we're about to do something big in our lives, all the fear creeps in. And it was certainly doing so in that moment for me. And I think I channeled my inner mom, who always told me to detach from outcomes and to just be and to enjoy the moment. And I think I got lucky. And when I went out onto that mound, that's exactly what I did. And it turned out all right.
There might have been a little bit of training involved too, Katie. I mean, I don't want to cheat people out of what they'll find out about you in the book, but you've had a little bit of experience getting the ball over the plate, perhaps not overhand, but underhand. You think that played a part in getting the pitch where it needed to be?
Certainly, I think playing sports my whole life helped me, be in the moment of a athletic event. There were many moments growing up and into my 20s where sports were a big part of my life. And I think that opportunity to be on a field in sort of a game-like situation definitely helped.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
Pepper was having some technical difficulties and was looking forward to speaking with you. And you and Pepper have a lot in common, both being athletes and, you know, having had sports in your life as you were growing up. And Pepper's a huge baseball fan. One of the things he wanted me to ask you was, without telling everything that's in the book, how is it that sports sort of played a part in both your ability to beat the illnesses that you were stricken with, as well as to get your way through this journey, which was both fun and trying at times?
It's such a great question. When I learned I had cancer, which was in 2012, it was also the Summer Olympics. And my whole family were thrilled to learn that I would be going through chemo treatment during that time, because I watched every event. I did not miss a single one. And with the Olympics coupled with baseball, it allowed me to escape my reality for the time being and the hardships that I went through, enduring a lot during chemo treatment and radiation. And so I think one of the biggest things about sports is that it allows us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think it's a model for us in our own lives. And certainly for me, when things are down and you're losing, or let's take baseball, for example, it's the ninth inning and you're down by one run, there's always a chance to come back. It doesn't matter how far down you are. And I think for me, having sports to look at while I was going through the time when I would need the ultimate comeback and to stage the ultimate rally, I think ultimately it was a big part of how I got through it.
Well, and that's a lot of, why fans are exactly what we are, and that's fanatics. We're fanatics about our teams, and when you latch onto that one team, there's always hope. It doesn't matter how, as you point out, it doesn't matter how far you're down or, whether you're behind, you're always looking for that glimmer. And, a lot of that certainly comes through. You can see snippets of that in each of the chapters in a lot of the ballparks you visit. You saw a lot of great games in those 30 visits while you were there. The almost no-hitter was one that you wrote about.
Yes, Verlander. He's obviously completed a no-hitter before, but during that season, he was coming back off of injury. And I think critics had a lot to say about, what his career was going to look like from there on out. And for him to be in the position to complete another no-hitter, he was the bottom of the ninth. I remember it distinctly. Player, trying to remember the hitter who came up to bat, and he hit the ball. I mean, line drive right on the third base line, just dropped, chalk flew, was inches from being foul. And that was certainly a moment I won't forget. I certainly wanted to be part of history, and I'm sure Verlander did as well.
Well, and he had a chance to, complete another, and you know, it was only a one hitter because, as you noted in the book, the next three batters out, out, out. And that was the end of that. Now, we'd all like to have Peyton Manning write a little bit of something for us and write the foreword in our book. But you had a bit of an in with Peyton. Maybe you can share, you know, what you knew about Peyton and Eli and the Mannings growing up. You may be in Austin now, but you are a New Orleans girl at heart.
Yes, born and raised in New Orleans, loved having grown up there. And in fact, I grew up across the street from the Mannings. And Peyton and I actually went to the same high school and were in the same class. There were about 87, 88 of us. So it was a very intimate experience going through school with the same group of people. I went in fourth grade and he started in pre-K. So had an opportunity to know the Mannings in many ways. And they're just an amazing family. And it was so gracious of Peyton to write the foreword. And I think that's something that speaks highly about all of the Mannings, in the sense that what they do on the field is nothing in comparison to what they do off the field. For the city of New Orleans, for the city of Indianapolis, for Denver, wherever they go, they're constantly doing kind things for communities and for people. And I'm just so grateful that I had the opportunity to have Peyton write the foreword, and he did such an amazing job.
And he did, and, you know, gave us all a lot to think about, especially at the end when he talks about just continuing to write and to stay in touch. And, you know, we lose a little bit of that by sending emails and text messages and everything else, but there's an art to writing a letter and what you express and then putting it in the envelope and sending it through the mailbox and capturing the moment of what you were thinking about at the time that you wrote. And I don't want to spoil every chapter in your book, but you just reminded me of two other stories I was hoping you could share with our listeners. One was about giving back to the community. You found yourself in a situation where you were going to give back to another community in Louisiana, and they weren't expecting it at all. I thought that was a really interesting and heartwarming story.
Certainly. It was actually Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is really near New Orleans. It's about an hour away. And I remember thinking the entire time I was on the journey, I have to find a way to give back. I have to find a way to give back. Baseball has given me so much during my cancer treatment, during this journey. It's a large part of how my mom and I connected throughout our lives. And I really wanted to find a way to give back to baseball. And I turned on my computer one day in my living room and I thought, what are the communities that have really impacted me and my life? And of course, New Orleans is one of them. And then Pascagoula is a little small town in Mississippi that we grew up spending time at during the summers. We had a small little house there on the Gulf, which was actually destroyed in Hurricane Katrina. And so I Googled Pascagoula baseball. And the first thing that came up were the Pascagoula Pirates high school team, and they were having a fundraiser that weekend, about 3 or 4 days from when I was actually viewing the website. And if I'd learned anything on this journey, it was to be open, be present, be in the moment, be adventurous, all things my mom had been trying to teach me for most of my life, and things that baseball taught me going through the journey. And so I said, you know what? I'm going. I booked a ticket right then and there. I called my sister, who still lives in New Orleans, and I said, you want to come join me? They were doing a cornhole tournament. And I said, will you be my partner? And I flew in and she drove over and we participated in their fundraiser. We didn't do very well in the tournament, unfortunately, but we gained a lot more in the experience than a win at the tournament, and met a lot of great people. And they were raising money for a baseball fence, and I was able to start a GoFundMe page and help them to get that baseball fence built. And that was a really special experience for me, being able to give back to a community that's given so much to me and my family.
And you have a lot of stories like that throughout the book, a lot of coincidences that worked out well for everybody who was involved and sort of shined a bright light on your journey as you took it.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
You and Pepper, as I mentioned, have a lot in common with your sports background. You and I have a little bit in common. I'm a huge sports fan, and that's in large part because my mom was a huge sports fan. She grew up with an older brother who really wanted a younger brother, didn't get one, so he would drag her out to all the baseball games in New York. She was growing up at a time where there were multiple teams in New York, and so she got to see them all with her brother, and that really came out through me. What is it about being a fan that really ties you into family and helps form that extra bond? Or what do you think it is about it that parents and children and siblings all have when they sort of are joined together by their fierce support for their favorite team?
Family members are complex, right? Mother-daughter relationships, mother-son relationships, father-son, father-daughter, they're all complex, right? We're impacted by them, as you said at the start of the podcast, in many ways. And we're in so many ways a product of who they were. And I think sports allows us an opportunity to be with that person in a way that no other experience does. It allows you to connect to something external, right? So the events surrounding a team become the talk of, you know, your conversation, the analogies that happen in a game. So the wins, the losses, the struggles. My mom was always for the underdog, hence I think why we were Cubs fans in part. And I think she was able to teach me things about life through the game. And so being an adamant fan of these underdogs our whole life, I think taught me to look out for the underdog. And I think if we hadn't been fans, I don't know that I would have understood what that meant, what it meant to be loyal and to follow a team and to embrace them and all the ups and downs that they went through. Because growing up being Cubs fans, it certainly wasn't pretty. Or being a Saints fan at the time weren't the two best teams to follow when I was growing up. But it taught me a lot about what it meant to root for the underdog and to really be loyal and show passion for a team regardless of the outcome.
And you ended up picking two good teams to follow because they now have championships to speak for themselves. A number of really great accomplishments by both of those teams.
Exactly. It was a long wait, but certainly worth it.
So who's your basketball team? Because they're due if patterns follow.
I know. Well, actually, I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan because I lived there for 12 years. I went to college there and lived there for 12 years. So I got lucky there. They kind of had a dynasty for a while.
There you go. So at the end of the book, you wrote, no matter how hard we try to write our story, the story ends up writing itself. So my follow-up to that is, do our lives edit what we have written, or do the events create a new story?
That's such a great question. I think that it's probably a combination of the two, right? In some way. I think the choices we make ultimately put us on a certain path. But I think on that path, if you remain open, and I think if you remain aware and just allow things to unfold as they should, in many ways, the stories write themselves. I think for me, I was always trying to control my narrative in life. And I think cancer came in and said, you can't control anything in this life, right? And so it woke me up. And I think going on the baseball journey also was a reminder to me about how if you just be in your space, in your moment, in the present, that beautiful stories can be written, even when you didn't have any idea of what that story was going to be.
And I think we all learned a lot about that over the last 18 months, about being in the moment and just appreciating what we have and not worrying about what happened or what might happen down the road, and sort of appreciate everything around us and be in that moment. And, appropriately enough, that's a message that you have in your book as well, to, be in the moment.
Gosh, you're so right. It's such a good point. I think last year taught us so many things, and one of which was to be in the moment, and the other is to realize that you outcome unknown, timeline undetermined. I think cancer teaches you that as well, and I think we all sort of experienced that with COVID last year. It's such a great point. There were so many lessons along the way last year that I think got reinforced for me.
Well, timing's everything, Katie, and your book coming out in the midst of baseball season, at a time where we're all getting out and about again, and we're getting back into the stands and families and everything else. And it's summertime, so what, better time to pick up a copy of a book that you can take with you to the beach, to the pool, on the plane, on your way to the baseball game. So now's the time where you're going to go ahead and tell everybody how they can get a copy of your book, how they can read it, how they can listen to it, and where they can find more about you.
Aw, thank you. Yes, you can really find it anywhere where books are sold. Local bookstores are great, especially given the last year and all the closures that happened. So your local bookstore is a great place to pick it up. I believe, actually, I noticed yesterday that Amazon has the audiobook on sale for like $6. And so wow. I think it's an interesting way to read a book nowadays is to hear it. And I actually do the reading of the story. And so that's another great opportunity. And it is in some ways the perfect beach read because it's a small book and because it's, you can kind of throw it anywhere in your bag. I think it does make for a nice travel book.
And the size was great, fit right into the palm of my hand and made for, really great reading and, a great book, summertime or otherwise. So
yes.
We appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend some time with us. I encourage everybody who's listening to pick up a copy of A Season with Mom. It's about a lot of things. It's about baseball. It's about family. It's about a love, and it's about persevering. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
Thank you for listening to Huddlin' with the Pro Sports Talk with David Weinstein, featuring five-time Super Bowl champ Pepper Johnson. We're the podcast that tackles all the controversial hot-button issues from the world of sports, recognized by our guests and listeners for our hashtag NoHoldsBarred, good questions, and informed conversation. By day, I practice criminal defense law with Jones Walker in Miami, Florida, but once a week, you can find me here on HWTP Radio. The show is produced and edited by Jacqueline Park and is a Sweet G Communications production. Thanks to our guests this week, Dr. Katie Russell Newland, author of A Season with Mom, Love, Loss, and the Ultimate Baseball Adventure. You can find Katie on Twitter at Katie R. Newland or look her up online, katierussellnewland.com. Remember, you can find a new episode of Huddlin' with the Pro Sports Talk every week at hwtpradio.com. You can follow Pepper on social media at PepJ52. Looking for Pepper to personalize a message for you? Go to his Cameo page. He'll be glad to see you. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at HWTPSportsTalk. Missed a show? Visit our website at hwtpradio.com and download our podcast onto your smart device. So goodbye for now. We'll see you next week.